can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Walking for Jesus Bible study for tonight. And y'all welcome. Those that's joining us here, my name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this Bible study for tonight. I do it Monday through Fridays, 8 to 9. And my broadcast is 4 to 6, also Monday through Friday. And I welcome you all here. My Bible studies, I try to focus on issues that are related to the supernatural, if you will, more than I do the broadcast, which is mixed, because that is the full scope of it. This conspiracy we're in, it's so surreal to be talking about it. Really, it is. Everybody's talking about Ebola. Everybody's talking about the presidential candidacy, or is Dallas going to win something or other? But what's going on around us is getting ready to show its ugly face in the future, in the very, very near future. Many will be left unprepared for what's yet to come. You see the signs of these times coming very quickly and coming together very fast. But right now, people are in a stage of denial or so forth. But there is an awakening occurring. I'm getting more reports from people outside. Oh, I talked to someone, they said, that knows about the chemtrails and about the, you know, all that stuff that we talk about. But by the time they learn about that, it's, you know, we're already deep into what's going on. The New World Order is heading to its fruition. But you know that it is temporary. You know that they do not have the power. Tonight, I want to talk about the high calling of God and the full armor of God, which is really going to be your own protection. That's what it's all about. someone that's not in the Freemasonry would simply only have to be born again, take Jesus as your Savior. And becoming baptized as a follow-up, showing fruits of the Spirit, Bible study, etc. But if you're in the Freemasonry, you're going to have to renounce the blood oath. You can't sit on the fence. And I'm not anti-Freemasonry at all. I mean, it's not my position to judge anybody. But I know that they're going to be targeted. It's an absolute total fact. And so it's my warning to them. Not only them, but other secret society members that will be used up and then murdered with everybody else once the Great White Brotherhood has control. I can't make it more drastic than that, because that's exactly what's going to happen. But in subtle ways, quote, they'll die as if by some illness, unquote. Protocols, chapter 15, are the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. It is not a hoax. The Iron Mount Report is absolutely not a hoax. If you say the protocols are a hoax, then you must be able to explain why 100% of the protocols have been completed. And they have. That's way beyond coincidence, if people want to look at it scientifically like that. These are facts. They don't want anyone that's righteous or anyone that's following the Word of God to pray against it, because that will delay it. The prayers of a righteous man avails much. They know that. So they tried to deter as many as possible from knowing the truth about this Luciferian conspiracy. But when you go through the high calling of God, when you look at the high calling of God, walking in the high call of God, walking, not sliding, sitting on a fence, but walking. Whole big difference. And it's not being done in the churches. By no stretch of imagination, by any religion either. It's a big facade. People protect their church or their pastor or preacher or rabbi or pope or priest or whatever. They protect their church building. I've been there for 3 generations. My family has been there. And that, of course, goes with the religion. I'm Episcopalian and always have been. We're never going to change. You see, I'm a Democrat, Baptist, whatever. I can't change because blah, blah, blah. And yet the KKK burns crosses in front of people's yards. And in America, in the Bible Belt, we had slaves. And it's not slavery that's talked about in the Bible. This is bond slave. No, this is slavery of the worst kind of murder, rape, atrocities in America in the 16, 17, 1800s, all the way up to 1900s, by the way. KKK, a Freemasonry organization. Oh, yeah. Deacons at church. We've got to call it for what it really is. And to dehumanize the enemy for them was to give the N-word. Everybody's got a category they fit in to dehumanize them. So you can be prejudice or murder, rape, kill, murder, whatever. So they're not personal. You don't know them. So you can kill them. Be prejudice. Boy, go sit over yonder. You can't eat right here with white folk. What kind of mess is that? It's not the same slavery. So the South, you got a lot to repent for. Judgment's coming. And the idea, the goal of the watchman is to warn for that coming. Have to. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and I want to jump into tonight's study lesson. and question everything I say. Question everything. Don't take everything I say as truth. Do your own research. I'm not an expert. I'm not a theologian. But I do extensive research. But still, that doesn't... qualify me or any, actually nobody else either, can say the same thing. No one can claim to be expert unless you're God himself. Only God is an expert of his own word. No human alive ever has dimensional capacity to understand fully the mind of God. We only know bits and pieces, part and partial. And what's given to us, that's the purpose of the Holy Bible, is to tell us how he is. His example was when he came down in flesh by the name of Jesus Christ. His word, inspired by the Holy Spirit, when he departed Pentecost, sent the Holy Spirit down and embraced those disciples and prophets to give them the word to write in order to make the scrolls and manuscripts. Received in Antioch, protected in the Alps for hundreds of years during the Dark Ages, brought out again in 1604 by its own translation stream, not touched by the Vatican whatsoever, or Sir Francis Bacon, or Shakespeare, or Timbuktu, Elmer Fudd's great ancestors. None of them touched the King James Bible, the scrolls, manuscripts, all the way to the actual manuscripts and originals themselves. It was protected by God throughout the entire period of time. Brought out finally into public view, 1604. Why do you think they call it the Dark Ages? Because God's holy word was hidden. It was therefore the Dark Ages. Until it was finally brought out. And ironically enough, at the same time period began the technological explosion, didn't it? That wasn't a coincidence. It was not a coincidence. When God's holy word reached the people, the Vatican tried to invade England to stop it. The Vatican hired Guy Fawkes to try to destroy the monarchy in England with a gunpowder plot to kill King James and stop the building of the King James Bible. Invasion in the 16th century, everything failed. It's always failed. King James Bible, Cambridge edition, brought to you by God's holy word and power. You've got it today. So the final assault upon the Bible will be the great falling away yet to come. Oh, but it's being set up. The Pope says being a lukewarm Christian is dangerous. And yet at the same time he says evolution falls in line with God's creation. Say what? Run that by me again. And homosexuality can be embraced and accepted. But yet the Pope says you can't be a lukewarm Christian. It's like it makes you shake your head back and forth. What? What are you talking about? It's almost so surreal, almost insanity for a human being to say such things and be a Pope, a man of God, and yet say what he says, and people don't question it. It's nuts, man. It's out in left field in Tully. Oh, boy. Let's dedicate the broadcast. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together in the Bible study. We thank you, Father, that you're able to give us this network. And, Father, that you bring us together for a Bible study that we can worship. Make copies, Father, and make reproduction of these Bible studies and send them out. But Lord, guide us tonight as we go through this Bible study. And Lord, give us that wisdom and discernment, Father, to see those hidden things and to, Father, be able to, opportunity to have to share the gospel with others. We pray for our family and their healings. We pray for friends and those strangers that we come in contact with, Father, for their healing spiritually and physically. Father, we pray for the return of Jesus Christ, first and foremost. Father, we pray for an awakening in this country. And in this world, Lord, an awakening that will bring the true gospel of Jesus Christ to the forefront. And Father, to bring those out of the shadows and the silence, to bring the watchmen out to start preaching the truth. We wait for that, Father, the enlightenment that comes from the Holy Spirit, the knowledge and wisdom and discernment to be able to lead others. And Father, give us strength to help ourselves to get through the trials and tribulations that's yet to come. All these things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I got a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus, and then the website, watchmanforjesus.com. I normally don't advertise for other websites or Facebook pages on my Facebook because I don't know, you know, what they support or who they are. And so I just really don't have a policy of advertising other websites, and that I don't do it to other websites either. I may make comments and so forth, but I don't advertise my own site on. I don't tag along with other websites or other Facebook. Sometimes I may, you know, allow somebody to do it if we're on the same wavelength, but I don't know who support, I don't know who may be a spirit, be a Christian Identity or Armstrong follower or Arnold Murray follower or any of that, I don't know. In SDA, I can't support that. Jehovah's Witness, I can't support that, obviously, because that is Illuminati. Charles Taze Russell, Jehovah's Witness, was Illuminati. Mormons or Joseph Smith, Illuminati, Freemasonry, Jehovah Witness, and Ellen G. White, Seventh-day Adventists, Illuminati, Eastern Stars, witchcraft, Lord of Mercy, come on, you know, and then the Protestant, you've got those like Stephen Anderson that just goes all berserk, killing, wants to kill all homosexuals. What are you talking about? Are you nuts? You know, P.P. Simmons, Carl Gallup down there, we're already in the sixth trumpet. What are you smoking, man? It's nuts. It's crazy stuff. So you can't, you know, even though they come close to the gospel, they deviate. And you can't, you know, I can't support that stuff because it's not even scriptural. I don't even have to be a theologian to figure that one out. So I can't support those. You know, and other people, I don't know. You know, you just never know because people change on you. They talk your talk, walk your walk, and all of a sudden they do a switcheroo on you. You know, and there you go. Deception is going to come out of the woodwork. Be very careful. Walking in the high call of God. You know, the Apostle Paul, for some reason, man, they're coming after him. I've had people just out and out just say, stop putting Paul's scriptures in our website. What are you talking about? You're talking about God and religion, right? Well, Paul's got 12 books in there, maybe 13 if you count Hebrews. But they're anti-Paul. And they call themselves Christians. Paul attached 12 books to the Bible. 12. Oh, man. Paul persevered through the long nights and that deep, dark dungeon that he's put into. And he struggles to his feet. His body was beaten with, etched with beatings and stonings and so forth. Racked with pain, and he wrote, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. You got to find that calling. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. The vocation, the work that he's put you to. It don't mean it's going to be easy. So could it be that the great apostle, with his body stiff and weary from his mind enlightened, recall the words of the prophet Habakkuk? Habakkuk 3:19. Habakkuk 3:19. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Or maybe that old saint is simply inspired by the shifting wind of the Holy Spirit as he senses the seasons changing. Well, whenever God uses to stir these walking words in Paul, they actually stand in very deep contrast to the seated expression that he penned just days earlier, to walk in the power. You know, your walking seasons are pretty much marked by initiatives to co-labor with God's divine purposes. Not our own, but his and his alone. We extend these borders of the kingdoms and the lives of others. You never know what word you give to someone passing or second or conversation or that will have an effect on them. You don't know. You may never know. Someone that might say in the worst case scenario, I just want to kill myself. I just want to die. Man, just shut up and go kill yourself and get over with. Well, whoa. You just never know that he might just look up and say, you know, he's right. And go do it. You don't know. You don't know what your words, what kind of effect they're going to have on somebody. You know, as the winds of change blow our lives, these elements inspire different attributes of God to emerge from our own personhood. The time is to set resting in his grace that he's given us that has passed over. Now it's time for his power to flow through the efforts that we walk at his high call in our lives, that we fulfill his mission, not our own, but his. When you understand the spiritual seasons of your life, then you raise your sails up, if you're a sailor. Let the wind drive us to the shores of destiny, where you're headed, where he wants you to go, where you're going to do work for him. Jonah didn't fare so well. Ended up in the belly of a fish. How that worked, I have no idea. But the Bible says it, it happened. That's God's business. Ours is to know the story and what it means. When we're seated, not walking, but seated, we should be walking. It undermines God's ways and derails his actual purposes. He'll always fulfill his purpose, maybe in another. But your calling is one you're to walk. Take Moses. This Moses guy, right? He experienced this shifting wind in the book of Exodus. He said in Exodus 14, verse 13 to 15. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen to the day, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward? But lift thou up thy rod, stretch it out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Can you imagine? How much faith that took? But for them to sit back and see, and it's not to read, see, R-E-E-D. Man, these wackos come out there. Oh, no, we meant to read the sea. It's really like 6 inches deep. No. When God's hand moves, if he can create the earth, he can sure split the water. And actually, in the Genesis, that's exactly what he did. He split the waters and the heavens. I don't think NASA is telling us the truth about what's up there. Somewhere up there, God divided the waters, made the universe, and within the universe, made the earth. So there's water of some kind out in the outer space that's separating the third heaven from the second heaven. That does not allow the demonic realm, the spirits, Satan, to go back through that water, that barrier, back to the third heaven. They won't be able to do that. But they can go back and forth, to and fro, from the second heaven, the universe, to the first heaven, this is earth, back and forth through portals created by sacrifice of humans, innocent. Now technology opens up those black holes or whatever that where the person go in and out of the second heaven, the first heaven. They can never go back to third heaven. Moses told the people to stand and watch God work this great miracle. Your Gilgamesh and all these other Gnostic versions, Satan knew what happened, so he creates the Gnostic versions, the fake foolery, using the Egyptian gods and Greek gods and so forth to mask and to fake God's truth. But you know, in essence, God said to Moses, pretty much just get down to it, stop your whining and start walking. So there's times in your lives, our lives, my life, your life, our lives, that where God simply refuses to do anything for us unless he does it with us. So he gets the glory. If he don't get the glory and the praise, where are you going to turn it to? Ourselves. And do we do it? No, hardly. And if we don't, God does, but if we don't give him praise, then Satan will take the praise. He wants it awful bad. He don't get it either. Still waters soothe our souls. You ever heard that before? Get up and start walking through the valley of the shadow of death, because that's what it is, but only with your keeper will keep you safe. Hey God, you're the one who made me lie down here. You're the one who said to sit here while you make my enemies a footstool at your feet. What's up with this new attitude now? Yet in many ways, the walking season are the most exciting times. You're moving from place to place. Powerful things happen when God's working through you to destroy the works of the devil. You know, all kinds of victories usually mark the walking season. Not the sitting season, but the walking season. People are heated and healed as we lay hands on them. If you're into that today, it's a little dangerous to be doing those kind of things, depending on what's in that church. That's even more difficult than ever. So, according to scriptures, many weeks passed since the great apostle Paul began his letter to the saints of Ephesians. And this was a great task he performed. He had taken its toll on this statesman, and he pushed past his circumstances in the Roman prison to pen his timeless epistle called Ephesians. When you go back to AD 44, these apostles, they're like escape artists, you know. They were supernaturally released from a high security prison in Jerusalem. And that resulted in King Herod ordering the execution of all the guards Acts 12, 5-19 talks about it. Paul and Silas were also famous for their jailbreaks as well. Peter, Paul, and Silas. Mary wasn't there at this time, at this point. She's somewhere else. So Peter, Paul, and Mary weren't together then. You know, years earlier, the apostles were worshiping a Roman dungeon. There's an earthquake. Remember that earthquake that rocked the prison's foundations? The cell's door, they popped open, and all the prisoner stocks just fell off their bodies. How does that work? It's called a miracle. Paul mercifully refused to leave the prison so the life of the guards would be spared. You can go to Acts 16, 25-30 for that one. He didn't want to see them killed. So this time the Romans were taking no chances with their famous prisoner, Paul. So the king ordered a regiment of his fiercest, best equipped, and most loyal soldiers to guard Paul's cell. If I recall, the prisoners were behind the iron bars, locked in shackles even, and stone reinforced penitentiary. Every guard was prepared to thwart any kind of escape plan. They had all worked out. So one day, Paul peered into the entrapment of his cell. His eyes fell upon a soldier's equipment, surveyed the guard's weapons and armor, and evaluated their distinct purposes. The Holy Spirit began to speak to him. The Ephesians spoke to Paul at this point, the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus Christ in spirit form. You'll find that in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, Ten to 18. Talks about this in the King James Bible. Let's see what we got here. Stand by a second. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. You know, sometimes nowadays you really got to watch your references and so forth because they quit using the King James Bible in a lot of cases. It makes it rough because it's the corruption. And the other Bibles are massive. Very much so. Now, some of the scriptures, it talks about the full armor of God. And that's what I wanted to talk about tonight, was the full armor of God. He says in Ephesians 6, 10 to 18, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. That's the day of the Lord. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Cambridge University Press, King James Bible. Now, before you step back into prison and evaluate the armor of the Roman guards, notice something very profound here. Weeks passed since the Apostle Paul began this book as inspired by the Holy Spirit. So, we call it Ephesians. And the spiritual season had changed again. Paul no longer is talking to us about sitting in heavenly places, nor is he encouraging us to walk out our high call, but we kind of find him here in this particular part that he's exhorting us to stand firm where we are. He says that when we have done everything to stand, then we just need to stand. So what that represents is those perilous times when the goal of our Christian existence, not to be confused with Christianity, is to hold your ground and not take more territory. So, it really boils down to these are the days of warfare, spiritual warfare, and the facts look like fiction. We live in a fiction, you know that, right? The Illuminati, the Freemasons, etc., etc. Now, the Freemasons are controlled. They don't know the hierarchy that's controlling them that they don't know about. The Illuminati infiltrated Freemasonry, 1782, at the Congress of Wilhelmsbad, and have been there ever since. They infiltrated the Freemasonry. They're given an illusion that's beyond description. Our education system has got Americans mostly fooled, although people are starting to acknowledge the truth, but getting bits and pieces. So when they reveal the truth to the other public, they're hoping that they get so involved in 911 was a conspiracy, GMO products, chemtrails, that they won't really look at the big picture. They'll just now be trying to play catch up with the New World Order, which is a long time already in the advanced stages. So then everybody becomes an expert these days and times of the New Age movement. They pick a place, GMO products and surveillance and all this stuff. But they don't. That takes them away from the big picture. It's called dialectic. Yeah, you were when you first started learning these things. Now they want you to learn these things to keep people tied up. You know, you can only imagine that when the prisoner penned his final paragraphs of what is believed to be one of the most insightful books of his life, demonic resistance increased. And in the prison cell, it must have dramatically increased even more so. There's intense struggle problems probably ensued as principalities and powers wrestled against Paul's very soul. As they do you when you try to pull away, as they would a Freemason if you try to renounce the blood oath, as they would if you've been a sinner all your life and all of a sudden you want to change, they can sense when that's changing. They try to fight you harder. The final verses of Ephesians 6 conclude that this great epistle stands in stark contrast to the victorious words that framed the thoughts weeks earlier for Paul. So, in six short chapters, Paul then pretty much, transitioned the readers from sitting with Christ on his throne while using the enemy as a footstool to a no-holds-barred wrestling match with demonic spirits that's trying to wreak havoc on our lives. And Luke records a powerful time. In Luke 5:17, for example, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, politicians, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Jerusalem, Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The present and power of the Lord was there to heal them. So Matthew's here recounts a kind of a perilous time that happened when Jesus was teaching his hometown. They took offense at him. He did not do as many miracles there because of their unbelief. If you go to Matthew 13, that belief is very important. 57 to 58, way down here. And they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. That's pretty clear. Even Jesus experienced different spiritual reasons and seasons in his life and ministry. The seated seasons, but instead take a long walk to a fruit-bearing season. In other words, witnessing and doing the right thing. So, the full armor of God. You've heard me pray this more than once. The full armor of God. I've talked quite a bit about spiritual warfare. I have more to talk about this week. But we go back to Paul's cell and insights you can gain through his revelation, Ephesians 6, about the Roman soldiers, the battle gear. We jump into the full armor of God, what it means. It's to gird your loins with truth. Because every Roman soldier wore kind of a wide, sturdy belt that he put on before any of the other armor. The belt supported his abdominal muscles and helped protect his midsection. So now the spiritual ramifications on this. Spiritual ramifications. The word for truth in this passage doesn't refer to the Bible, although the essence of all truth is the Word of God. But the word truth means real. Lots of people hide behind a facade, in today's world especially. It goes back, all the way back. They never really allow others to get to know them. And it's, in a way, understandable. These days and times, people learn your secrets and use them against you. Sorry, but they do. Kind of like Adam and Eve covering themselves with a fig tree, fig leaves. Hiding behind a tree, covering themselves with fig leaves to hide their shame. How'd they know they were shamed? Because they ate the book, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was some kind of fruit, don't know what it was. May not even exist today, who knows. But it was a tree. It wasn't the fruit itself that did the cursing. It was the act of disobedience that did it. So you know the tree must have been just an amazing fruit, something to have it invited. And then Satan said, oh, don't worry about it. You will not surely die. That's what he said. That was the tempt. It wasn't sex in the Garden of Eden. Your Arnold Murray cult groups and Shepherd's Chapel, Hebrew Roots Movement, all these guys, that was sex in the Garden of Eden between Satan and Eve. And that Cain was the son of Satan. It just gets uglier and uglier. It's definitely not true. Actually, Genesis 4:1 tells you exactly what happened. Many believers dress themselves in man-made realities, easily penetrated by demonic spirits through the portals created by a lot of the areas I've talked about even today. You'll not be able to fool some people with their outside personality, but in times of intense battle, their lack of depth will expose them to the elements. The real them comes out. Paul exhorts us to be honest. Live with integrity. Be real with God and with people. The day of John Wayne and Clint Eastwood, go ahead, make my day. It's all movies. The day sometimes comes when you have to maybe do self-protection or something of that nature, but reality is it's not scripted like the movies are. Dishonesty is an open door that will wreak havoc in your lives, especially during any kind of enemy siege. Having forgiveness is paramount. That is not easy to do. That turning the other cheek part, I've still yet to kind of have to deal with that. I'm not quite there yet. You know, when you, I'm working on that. I'm working on it. But that turn the other cheek, it's a stretch for me, so I got to work on that. So, number one, the gird your loins with truth, and number two is a breastplate of righteousness. Now, this breastplate covers the soldier's heart and other vital organs to protect them. And so when you look at the spiritual ramifications of the full armor of God, you had thousands of years in the past, and the wisest man in the world wrote, quote, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." Let's look at Proverbs 4:23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." That's better. That's the King James Bible. Your heart is the seat of your soul, the footstool of your spirit, the essence of your spirit's in the pineal gland, be exact. When you received Christ, you underwent some kind of a heart transplant surgery, and Jesus Christ was the willing donor that gave you that power, that change of heart. We do not produce righteousness, we protect it. So righteousness is a part of your new nature that you received as a gift. Romans 5:17. In Romans 5:17, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. For if by one's offense death reigned by one, as Adam, much more they which received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one." That was Jesus. So the enemy would love to convince you that the heart is wicked and our ways are evil. But you know the devil's a lying accuser. That's what his role is. Satan hides, Jesus reveals. That's why you know that a blood oath is not right. The righteousness of God is a breastplate of every Christian's life. He's got you covered. That's a breastplate of righteousness. But you got to get from point A to point B, right? To walk. So then comes the sandals of peace. Now, the sandals Roman soldiers wore had cleats on the bottom like today's athletic shoes that gave them stability in combat. Cleats of peace, you might call them. That's what Chris Valentotten called them. Cleats of peace. Now, when you get the spiritual ramifications of this, these cleats of peace help us in times of war, that way to stay connected to our understanding, our foundation of love, which has been removed from this society a long time, seems like. It's interesting that when Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, quote, in Romans 16:20, in the King James Bible, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." So, when you love those who hate you and pray for those who persecute you, you extend this gospel of peace to a godless and destructive world. And it is. Humanity is the devil's enemy. Humanism is the belief of the Antichrist. He has no friends on this planet. The people that work for him, but they're not friends. They're all self-biters and backstabbers, seeking material pleasures more than rewards from God. He works hard to get people to destroy one another. Satan does. And Jesus said, Matthew 5:39, in Matthew 5:39, "But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Well, I'll be honest with you, I'm working on that. Whew. You know, the Lord's not promoting a passive gospel, though. If you do, you ask the money changers in the temple if they were around. He wasn't passive then. And meek does not mean weak. I don't stretch the imagination. It means actually quite opposite. But Jesus is teaching us how to transform evil ecosystems. For example, if somebody punches you and you automatically punch them back, then you're reacting with the people around who are externally controlling your actions. But if somebody whacks you and you respond by not hitting them back instead of reacting, you break the ecosystem of evil and extend the gospel of peace. We're not taught to do that. Somebody hits you, you grab them by the stack and swivel and chuck them to their knees and then beat them to their unconscious. But that's not what Jesus is telling us to do. There is a force within us that's stronger than the force around us. And you let the devil know that flesh and blood is not your enemy, but ultimately defeats his devious purposes. You have witches that attend, literally, church, schools, other places, that you'd never know in a million years what teachers are into Wicca, nurses are into Wicca, people in the church are into Wicca or Satanism. You have no idea. Sometimes they can be saved, born again. They're difficult for them because of the strong man within them. So the people from the coven sometimes will come to the church to mess with the leader and to try to disrupt the services. Interruptions. Throwing curses while you're preaching or while you're talking and so forth. They can even do it over the internet, by the way. Prayer warriors would battle back by breaking the curses, rebuking the witches, like sometimes a prayer that I put out does, at least attempts to. This would go on for a long period of time. It gets worse each time. Get more bold. So the main problem is how to deal with people that's lost their peace and rebel. When you lose your peace, you lose your footing, and faith gives way to fear, like Peter did when he walked on the water and his fear gave away and he started sinking. Sometimes you got to approach them directly. And non-aggressively. Show them you care. When you show love back to the enemy, it's confusing. They don't expect that. They have no defense for love. You know, that's exactly what happened in the Colosseums of Rome. The love was expressed in the Colosseums of their death by them worshiping God the days that they were dying. And people in the stands were saying, who are these people that they will worship this God that they have, that even while they're dying, they worship him. One dies and one comes up, takes his place. We want some of that. So the stands, they started converting in the stands of the Roman Colosseums. Imagine that. It started working opposite. So that's why they brought Constantine, a pagan, in. So they had to come up with a religion, and they called it Christianity, based on pagan holidays, secretly, openly, overtly. They listed it as Christian, or Valentine's Day, or Columbus Day, or Groundhog Day, or any of these days that earmark signifies certain moon positions and constellation positions, so secretly they can do their child sacrifice at these holidays, is what they're identifying the constellation locations, under the guise of fun or Christianity or getting presents or a combination or candy in a bag. Pay them off somehow. While in the background, they murder children, Wiccan sacrifice, satanic sacrifices, ceremony of the hands, where they cut off the hands of the kids. See, the emotion exhibited by the victim is recorded. The motion, as high as it is, torture, is a stronger life force to be absorbed. It's total, absolute evil beyond your imagination. At all holidays, Christmas, Easter, Groundhog Day, Columbus Day, you name it. There's a certain satanic occult ritual that goes on with it that 99% of people don't realize. That's the purpose of all holidays. All of them. The feasts are different. Whole different ballgame. Many of the feasts are already complete except for Feast of the Tabernacles. That's a 1,000-year millennium reign. It's yet to happen. And there's only one blood moon. That's in the sixth seal. Hadn't happened yet. Not four, not three, not two. One. Now, can they make something happen during the blood moon that occurs every so many years? Yeah, they can do that because they have the technology and the plans, but only if God lets them. But that book called Shemitah and Jonathan Kahn, Job, I call him, it's all nonsense. And Hagee and Mark Blitz, it's been debunked a long time ago. Harbinger and the Shemitah, no. Walk with God. Get through the deceptions. Pray against it. Become smart by studying the Word of God so you get through all this deception and new studies and new revelations is coming out. Oh, there's many more coming. Whew, whole bunch. Now, tomorrow night, I'm going to talk about the completion of the full armor of God, and this is the protection. Being demonized. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk about the perverse spirit. I'm going to expose all this supernatural. This is the rule. It's not just Ebola or World War III or all this stuff, the GMO products, chemtrails, all this stuff, to keep you all divided, scared and feared and studying all of it, which is, you know, good to know, but to get your eyes off the ball, to get you looking at trees and not the forest. And the forest is the return of Jesus to this earth. Will make it all go away. Somebody wrote me. I may have a little time to talk to you about it since I only had an hour. They still believe this stuff. What stuff am I talking about? Well, for example, people that seem to know what they're doing really don't. Somewhere, let's see. I may not be able to find it, but is how to defeat the Illuminati. I got an interesting comment. Oh, there it is. Yeah, I do have it. Someone said that there's a way to defeat them. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, yes, there's many cartels. Yes, they're a problem ultimately. They are a problem ultimately. Yes, we're doing absolutely nothing about it. But here's what he said. But naming names is much better than references to a shadowy group. These people have homes, families, lives, and can be gotten to. Okay. Well, I wrote back, and I said, sure. I said, there's no way possible to get these people unless you're willing to start with America first and remove all Freemasons and Knights of Malta from positions of power. And that's the foot soldiers to start off with. And then you remove all the members of the Joint Chief of Staff who are Rhodes Scholars, Knights of Malta, and Freemasons would be a start. Then, very simply, form your own army of over 500,000 volunteers who are not Freemasons, not secret societies, your own Air Force and bombers, and special forces among the groups, take into account that vets are committing suicide at 26 per day, pretty much rule out using vets. Then you would target the following families and enter their fortified homes of the following families, including the Vatican entirely in Rome. And then I listed the real 13 Zoroastrian bloodlines of the House of Borgia, Breakspeare, Svengali, Orsini, Condi, Cacciaggi, Colonna, Farnese, Medici, Gaetani, Familia, Estiado, Brandina. Once you get done with that royal family in Rome and other places, you go to the outer circle that they know about, the Astors, the Bundys, the Collins, DuPont, 13 of them, no problem, you see. And you go get Queen Elizabeth II, yeah. And Reynolds family, Russell, Van Duen, and Rockefeller's on Onassis. The Chinese family in China, that should be easy to do, huh? Yeah, the Kennedy family, get them, get DuPont and Collins and Bundy. All right, and when you get them done, go McDonald's and close it down. McDonald's, Illuminati, Vanderbilt's. Then you get the another 13 line of families. I said, now, the addresses, that should be easy to find. I said, good luck. These are the ones, they're the Illuminati. Then I said, now, with reality, the only one that can do this is Jesus Christ, and it'll happen in Armageddon. There's no other way. However, man can do what they can try, but I'll have to deal with reality. These people have no idea, or they depend on us being stupid, and say, yeah, we need to rise up and defeat the Illuminati. We can do this, arrest them, and all this silly nonsense. I'd love to see them try to arrest Satan. That ought to be real cool. People have no idea what they're dealing with. They have no clue. Even the ones that know the secrets of Freemasonry have no idea the extent of what they're dealing with. No idea. And nobody wants to listen. They just don't want to listen. There are solutions, but They're going to have to go through the fire to understand it. Well, family, let's close down here, and we're on the way. And tomorrow at 4 o'clock, let y'all know where John Kirkler plays our broadcast. Highportradio.net. And H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R is his last name. He plays our broadcast and our Bible studies randomly on this network. Also, my Facebook is watchmanforjesus.com. Watchman for Jesus, and my website is watchmanforjesus.com. So I appreciate y'all coming by tonight. And close in prayer, and then we'll see you all tomorrow at 4. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together in your in this Bible study, Father. We thank you for the opportunity we have. Father, we pray for getting the word out. We pray that, Lord, you use the Holy Spirit to guide it along, to help our families with healing, with knowledge, and to bring the truth about Jesus Christ. Father, to open up the eyes and the hearts of those that are seeking it. Father, we pray for more time, but Father, we pray for the return of Jesus Christ to this planet. Give us that wisdom discernment, Lord, that we can preach to others and words to speak. And all these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family, y'all have a good night tonight. And we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4. So God bless and good night. This is The Watchman, signing off.